Welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, back again for Thursday's edition of your favorite podcast, starring Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter, Mr. Ira Kaufman, a man you can follow on Twitter, the only 96-year-old man on Twitter, iKaufman76, and of course, he's permanent, Mr. Full-Time at JoeBucksFan.com, and he'll be representing JoeBucksFan.com next month, Ira. It's almost here. The day before the Super Bowl, when you and all your esteemed Pro Football Hall of Fame panelists step into the room, and you are going to be attacking the war on John Lynch, trying to get Mr. Lynch in to the hallowed halls. But first, let me say your podcast is presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. That's where you want to start, EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. And we're broadcasting today, Ira, again from what seems to be our new spot, Hooters in Port Richey, right out here on the patio on the water. And props to Hooters today. We gave us your favorite thing, Ira. It's called a free lunch.
And if nothing beats that, baby.
If I knew, I would have ordered the crab legs, and I would have gone to town.
Wonder if they have a Maine lobster on the menu.
I would have gone full blown Jameis, huh, with the crab legs.
Absolutely. Right. Now we know for next time. That was the voice of Lee DeCamper. I'm Steve Isbitz, and let's get right after the podcast, Ira. Speaking of Lynch, because we're trying to keep a Hall of Fame theme this month to learn more and more about your work inside the hall. For everyone who missed Tuesday's podcast, definitely go back, look at it on iTunes, Podbean, wherever, on JoeBucksFan.com. Excellent podcast. Ira really takes you inside some of the inner workings of the politics of this vote. But Ira, pecking order. Now, we already know that you're going to be after the Philadelphia Eagles presentation, the Eagle representative presenting Brian Dawkins for safety as you go toe-to-toe with him to get Lynch in. But when is the vote, and when will you be presenting early in the long day with the hall? Does that matter? What's the pecking order here?
Steve, judgment day is approaching. They are in the process of deciding the order. The hall makes the order by random. It changes every year. For example, last year my Tony Dungy presentation came kind of in the middle of the 15 different finalists. Lee, the Warren Sapp in 2014. I was 14th out of 15. The only person behind me was Bob Glauber, who you call Tom Crean.
Tom Crean.
A longtime writer for Newsday, and he was presenting
great guy.
Michael Strahan. So, you know, defensive linemen went last year. They could go first this year. Steve, I think the question is, do you want to go early or do you want to go late or do you want to go in the middle? I think there's much to be said maybe for each circumstance, Lee. If you go kind of last, you can make a lasting impression. And then after the 15th presentation, they go right to the vote. Okay, here's the ballots. Go from 15 to 10 right then. So going last isn't the worst thing in the world, Steve, because you get that final word. But I'll also say this. You've been in the room since 7 in the morning. Now it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One guy fell asleep in the room a few years ago. He was 80 years old.
So a certain Floridian. Not to be confused by Ira.
Just a young kid.
You might lose some people, Steve. You might, glassy-eyed. They've heard it all now at 4 o'clock. You might want to go when they're nice and fresh. Steve, whatever the order is, and you're right, I'm going to, even if they go, whatever the defensive back's order is, I'm going to be behind Brian Dawkins because then they break it down alphabetically. Paul Domowicz from Philadelphia Daily News, well-respected. He'll do a very fine job with Dawkins. He's got plenty to work with.
He doesn't get tossed out of press boxes?
Does not. Although I think that guy was from the Philly Daily News.
Yes.
McLean, Brian mm-hmm. McLean. By the way, that's a horrible job by the Eagles PR staff.
Oh.
Horrible. The war on the press continues, Steve. That's a podcast for another day.
And we're at the forefront here at JoeBucksFan.com.
But I'm going to go right behind Dawkins, and I'm never going to mention Brian Dawkins. I can tell you that for a fact. Never going to mention him. I'm not going to make this a Lynch-Dawkins thing, but I'm going to make it clear that Lynch is the man of the hour.
So to recap for the fans, it goes by position, and every year it's different. So quarterbacks might go first, followed by linebackers, special teams guys, contributors. So that's what we're talking about. So we're,
senior guy,
wherever wherever the defensive backs go,
that's right.
You will be after the Philly presentation, and I don't know if there's any.
As a matter
good,
of fact, Ty Law is also in there, Steve. So it'll be Dawkins.
What time of day was Coach Dungy?
Middle of the pack. So you got Ty Law, Lee. You're going to lead with Dawkins. Then you got Law, and then Lynch will be the third and last of the defensive backs.
Now you're talking about formalities here. Excuse me, the formality, how it's set up and everything. But how much behind the scenes do you politic with guys? So, you know, leading up to, obviously you're there a couple days beforehand. You're emailing people months ahead of time. How much is there politicking? The reason why I ask this is I'm going to give an example. I remember when the Chiefs played here a couple years ago. I can't remember who you were presenting. Might have been Brooks. And you were talking to the Chiefs presenter at Raymond James, you know, the Den of Depression in the press box.
Maybe he was doing Will Shields or something.
Well, I remember him saying something to you along the lines of, I'll back you up with Brooks if you help me out with Otis Taylor.
Oh, I don't remember that. And if he said it, I wasn't interested.
Hey, well, you dismissed him right away. Like, Otis Taylor,
I'm not interested in that.
But I mean, how much of that goes on that you're working behind the scenes with other guys like, help me out, I need some votes? Because I know Bernie Miklos, who represents the St. Louis area. They no longer have an NFL team, but he's on the voting committee. That he was working with Paul Zimmerman to get Roger Worley in, for example. How much of that do you try to get like a gaggle of voters to back you up, to give you some momentum?
I think it used to happen a lot more. In the old days, there was more politicking. Now, Lee, I'll say this. If there's a voter who I've already, you know, talked about Lynch, and I know he's a Lynch supporter, I'll say to him, you know, hey, when I'm finished with my presentation, you know, I'd appreciate you making a few points in Lynch's favor. There's nothing wrong with that. People have tried all different things. Steve, sometimes you walk in the room and there's somebody walking around with a printed sheet.
I was going to ask you about props.
With the statistics of Charles Haley, you know, just to reinforce it. Even though you get tons of material beforehand to study. Yeah, tons of material.
When you say beforehand, do you mean you get it emailed to you from the Hall of Fame?
No, you get an actual book that has the 25 semifinalists, so obviously that's going to have...
Site or beforehand?
You get it mailed to you.
Okay.
You get it mailed to you. So all the information is there. I've seen that. You also get letters of recommendation emailed to you. I've gotten a couple in favor of Paul Tagliabue already.
That's going
from some distinguished people. You know, Steve, I'll say this. There's a lot of nine-hour meetings, and there's no reason to think this is going to be less than 9 hours, because anytime you got Terrell Owens, who took 50 minutes, 5-0 last year, in his first year, Tagliabue is going to be widely discussed. Jerry Jones is the other contributors, two contributors, and they get voted on separately. So Tagliabue's not going against Kurt Warner and John Lynch.
Now, Ira, as far as in that room, now I know you're not one of the deals is you're not supposed to talk about what goes on in
that
room.
Not specific, no.
But this not specific. But I think the broader process is okay to talk about. I've heard many other voters talk about it. When you do present, when you're finished, do people ask presenters questions like, Kaufman, well, what was this going on? Or clarify this. Or does that happen?
Absolutely. There's comments. There's questions. And I told Lee this a few years ago. My first time around, I was real taken back. I didn't expect this. But it was the first year I was presenting Lynch, which was 2014. That was the year that Sapp did get in, and Lynch was also on the ballot. I finished this presentation on Lynch. I was feeling good about myself. You know, I didn't know, well, first time eligible, maybe he doesn't get in first time. Sapp was the same way, first time first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the discussion. Some people said some positive things about Lynch. And then one veteran voter, grabbed the microphone and said, quote, why would I vote for John Lynch? He was awful on pass defense. He was an easy mark.
Ooh.
And by then I had given up the microphone and I had to grab it back immediately. And they defer to the person that made the presentation if they're getting questioned,
sure,
which they should.
Mm-hmm.
And I grabbed that microphone and I said, you know, how can you say that? He was an integral part. He was the key figure of the secondary of an iconic defense. If he was lousy in pass defense, They couldn't have put up those numbers and win games and said to the offense, just give us 17 points. That doesn't make sense. And, oh, I heard that Lynch could be had. And I said, is he gonna win a race with Isaac Bruce? No. But, was he better on run defense than pass defense? Maybe. But certainly, that's a large leap to say he was lousy on pass defense.
Oh,
that's
the beyond kind of thing, a large leap.
Steve, that's the kind of thing you face in the room. Now, you know, speaking of Owens, he was buried last year by people that, and then these people do their research, Lee. They talk to the coaches of Terrell Owens, not hearsay.
Yeah.
They talk to his teammates. He was buried in the room as a teammate. Some people say, well, wait a minute, you didn't count that with Sapp. Yes, we did. Nobody said Sapp was a bad teammate. They talked about Sapp with the media, Sapp with autographs. That's totally different.
Outside the locker room, Sapp was an ogre.
So Lynch has no such concerns, guys. Neither does Brian Dawkins. Lynch is going to get in on his merits, and I think he's going to get in.
Of course, Ira, your podcast, it's worth noting, of course, as always, presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Right now, Ira, I'm just chilling here listening to you, looking at edmorescadillacbrandon.com. Paycation opportunities, paycation deals this month. Put zero down and drive. Payment free for 3 months, Ira. I'm also looking here. 2017 Cadillac Escalade, your favorite luxury edition. So many great vehicles and great opportunities. Definitely visit edmorescadillacbrandon.com and edmorescadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details on the great offers, but they're endless, Ira. Endless this month with it. Right back at it, Edmores, in 2017. It's more than 70 years of a fantastic dealership. Appreciate them supporting everything you do.
You know, if we walk away from Houston, guys, with Lynch getting a bust in Canton, the Glazers may have to stop into Edmores Brandon and inquire about a little vehicle for the presenter. That wouldn't be a terrible idea.
It would be appropriate.
if the Glazers could only see you and I, Ira, you're comfortable, you're sunning yourself on the deck here at Hooters in Port Richie, you're flaunting your Snoopy socks, got your shades on, your demeanor is impressive.
You're always wearing those socks, Ira.
Steve,
always wearing those.
You know what's a great thrill for me? I mean, it is a fantastic
I'm a little
thrill.
Nervous here. Go ahead.
It's got nothing to do with Sofia Vergara, nothing.
well, that's your fault.
Is when I see a buck that I made a presentation for, and I see him that night because they announced it during that NFL Honors program. Mm-hmm. And when I get to see that person, whether it's Dungy, whether it's Sapp, Brooks, Steve Sable, I saw in the Super Bowl in Dallas the next day after his father got in and I made the presentation for Ed Sable. The emotion, Steve, the raw emotion on the faces. Well, I don't have to go any further than to tell people that Warren Sapp hugged me that
he
afternoon.
He didn't hug you. He enveloped
me. He enveloped me like the movie The Blob with Steve McQueen, 1958.
1958. That's you graduated high school, right?
All you could see was the sleeve on my sweater. Now, my wife was watching on television from the hotel in New Orleans, and she knew what sweater I was wearing, Steve, so she knew that it was me. Nobody else knew it was me. It could have been anybody. And that's when Sapp... was emotional, tears, and said, whatever you need, Kaufman, I'm taking you and your wife to Burns. Whatever you need, you got it. And when he finally let me go, Steve, it seemed like an eternity. I couldn't breathe. I was choking. And I said, big man, you don't have to take me to Burns. I only want one thing. Whatever it is, Kaufman, whatever it is, it's yours. What do you need? Now you can talk to me, Warren. Now you can talk to me. And all of a sudden, I don't know, something happened in the last year. I'm his best friend. I'm very worried about it. I'm quite concerned about it.
That's because you saved him a few hundred bucks on dinner. He's pleased that you didn't take him up on it.
There you go. But it means a tremendous amount to these guys, Steve. They don't want to talk about it beforehand. They don't want to say how much it does mean. And, of course, there's a little extra in being a first ballot Hall of Famer, which happened to Sapp and Brooks. You hear, Steve, all the time, well... Once you get in, nobody cares that you it took you 7 years. That sounds good, but it's really not the truth. So that's not going to happen for Lynch, but that's fine. You know, he's going to get that bust, and it's going to be right next to Brooks, Sapp, and Dungy, and any Buck fans that go up to Canton, they can go into that little Buck corner. And don't forget Little Ronde coming around the corner in 2018.
Well, Chris Carter, wasn't he so outraged he didn't get elected for so many years? that he all but said, forget it.
And Harry Carson did that too.
Well, he said, once they got in there, tune changed.
Yeah. Steve, Harry Carson wrote a letter after, I think, maybe the ninth time that he was in the room. And he wrote a letter to the Hall of Fame, take me off the ballot. I don't want to be on the ballot. Now, cooler heads prevailed. And guess what? He got in the next year. So, you know, people get frustrated. Yeah, Jerome Bettis, he was knocking at that door, Lee, a long, long time. Lynn Swann, I believe, was 14 times he was a finalist.
Wow, 14. I wouldn't wear that.
Some people still don't think Lynn Swann's a Hall of Famer. That's an argument for another day. But he certainly showed up big on the biggest stages, you know.
He was a game changer.
But, Steve, it all depends on the class you're in, the competition. That's why I think this is the year for Lynch.
Real quick one, Zyra. If you had to put a percentage on it, what percentage of those 47 panelists?
48.
48 panelists. What percentage take this as seriously and care as deeply as you do?
I want to say all 48.
Wow.
I want to say all 48. I think the vast majority of them do. Now, I'll tell you why I say that. Last year, for the first time, Lee, two players were in the room. They didn't say a word. They observed. James Lofton and Dan Fouts. They didn't say a word. Nobody else ever gets into that room except the Hall of Fame officials. Well, this year, guess what? They have a vote. That's why it's 48 instead of the traditional 46. They have a vote. They are voting on whether John Lynch is a Hall of Famer, those two guys.
No.
And, hold on. So after last year's 9-hour meeting, guys bumped into Fouts. They bumped into, down the line, maybe on Super Bowl Sunday. And they asked them for their thoughts about what they thought about being in that room for 9 hours. Both guys, Lee, said they were knocked out by how serious the writers take it, the presentations, the work that goes into it. They were impressed. They had no idea what goes on in that room.
You answered the question I was going to ask, because most players really look down their noses. And this happens every year. It's going to happen Super Bowl Saturday. When the vote comes out, you'll see all these NFL players going nuts on Twitter.
How could so-and-so?
Yeah, how could so-and-so not be in? But they never answer the question, who shouldn't have gotten in? Because
exactly.
There's only X amount of slots available. You can't put 15 guys in, 5 slots, right? If I remember correctly?
A maximum.
Maximum. Yeah, so they never say who shouldn't have got in, and that just drives me wild when I see that, and it just shows the disdain and ignorance, quite frankly, of the voting process.
Ira, we're going to switch gears and hit on what Bucks fans will be going crazy about really for the next 2 months, because there's nothing more exciting in the world of the NFL. You know, in our little world on the internet, Ira, Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com would tell you the same thing. Nothing moves the needle on the internet better than free agency.
Wow.
It is the ultimate, much bigger than a football game, much bigger than anything. It's free agency because it represents hope, it's excitement, it's the new year really feels real. And everybody wants, especially in the fantasy football era, everybody wants that big name to come grace their team and push them over the top.
And here are the Bucks sitting on a ton of money, Steve.
And here's Tim Glazer sitting on a mountain of cash, thanks to a variety of forces, starting with excellent cap management by Mark Domenech, continued by his guy Greenberg and Jason Light, buoyed by the failures of Vincent Jackson, who if Jackson had delivered what they wanted, he would have gotten an extension on his $10 million a year deal. But here they are with a pile.
And perhaps the departure of Doug Martin adding to it.
Yep. Peel off the $7 million of Doug Martin. You look at the failure of the 2014 free agency class, arguably the worst in the history of humankind. And then you've also got J.R. Sweezy, who I don't believe for a second is going to come back and play next year. So the Bucks have a lot of money to work with.
We got to acknowledge, Steve, that Light has rebounded a bit from that 2014 class.
He's not only rebounded a bit, he's rebounded big time. So, and props to him. We made this point on the air, off the air.
With what looks like a miss with Sweezy at this point, maybe that's premature, but it doesn't look good for Sweezy.
Well, just the mere what Light accomplished in free agency last season, from Brian Anger, who was a treasure of a signing, to who goes out and signs 3 free agents over 30 to start on your defense, and they all hit, Ayers, Darryl Smith, and Brent Grimes. Nobody does that.
Grimes especially.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the Bucks rang the bell in free agency, and they won last year.
They get Quiz Rogers in free agency?
Quiz Rogers off the street. You know, that's a unique situation, signed him after opening day. But still, that counts. You know, just like it counted when they got good action out of Gosdrich, Chehalis, and Joe Hawley in 2015. But let's look at this pile of cash by Team Glazer. What do you think the mind? Nobody knows the mindset of ownership, or at least attempts to, better than you. Is Team Glazer looking to go over the top and push all in? And do they see a 9-7 team ready to contend here?
Steve, you and I talked to Joel Glazer in March at the meetings. We will do so again in a couple of months. And Lee, you know, one directive that comes out that is consistent, and I think Joel's speaking for all the brothers, is it's all about timing. In other words, are you rebuilding? Are you restocking like they were in 2009? You know, when they were starting from scratch after the veteran purge of Brooks and Hilliard and Warwick Dunn and that, or are you on the launching pad? And Steve, when you're 9-7, Lee, you know, 8-5, and in charge of your own destiny going into the home stretch, that tells me and every Buck fan you can see. From Brandon to Micanopy, how do you like that?
Whoa!
That this team is poised to do some damage, Lee. And you know, any idea that this is a rebuilding that's long gone. This team is now ready to strike, Lee. And I can't imagine the message from the Glazers to Jason Light saying, you know, be very conservative and don't spend our money. I can't imagine it.
Well, I'm going to bring up a point that Steve hits home, pardon me, almost every chance he gets. And that is 2010, Bucks missed a playoff berth just like this year. Well, not
by the
like
skin of their teeth.
Yeah, they lit on a tiebreaker to the eventual Super Bowl champion, the Packers. What did the Bucks do in free agents that year afterwards? They signed a punter. That was it. And the team collapsed.
Yes.
So here they are again.
And they ended up with a new coach.
Now here they are again, almost by the skin of their teeth. One winnable game out. They missed the playoffs. There are clear holes in this roster at wide receiver. There are clear holes in this roster at running back. You could argue there's clear holes still on the defensive line. And here the Bucks are on the cusp of yet another playoff run. Go feel. Has Team Glazer learned their lesson from 2010 with their inactivity?
I pose this question to you in the hypothetical that Lee is talking about, and a point I've made. Imagine what happens: 2010 season, Bucks go 10-6, miss the playoffs. They come back next year. Imagine if that team had only signed the equivalent of Robert Ayers, Darryl Smith, and Brent Grimes. Defensive leadership on that defense at every level. What do you think that team would have done the next year? I think they would have progressed and built more of a winner. They started off 4-2.
And when the wheels fell off, that's when the veterans would have came to the forefront.
Exactly. So,
you know, but I
their veteran leadership was the Target parking lot activity of one Kellen Winslow.
Now, Steve's made this point many times. I got to give him credit. It's a critical one. The Glazers have loosened up a little bit, Lee, on this unspoken. I don't even know if it was spoken or unspoken, but it was out there that if a guy's 30 years old, we're not interested in him in free agency. Lee, that was the case. The facts are the facts. And that seems to have loosened up a little. And I'm a big believer in a veteran mix with young players. And I'll give you an example. Guys, the 2005 Bucks, the 2007 Bucks, both made the playoffs. They had these salty veterans, the Kevin Carters of the world, mm-hmm. the Ike Hilliards. They made a difference. There's only so much the coaches can say, Lee. Sometimes
sure.
It's got to come from the player, and it's got to come from players, Steve, that have been there, that have been successful. So when you get tired of that coach's voice, Lee, you turn to Kevin Carter, who's a natural leader. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the Kevin Carter of 2000. You know, when he was going to the Super Bowl. But he could still play. You have to be able to play, Lee. You can't be a bum. He could still play, and he helped, the Styles Whites of the world or whatever get better, Lee. And to say that you're not interested in guys that are 30 in free agency, I think that inhibits you.
Well, was that an edict from the Glazer, or was that a management? What I mean by management is Bruce Allen had, true to his DNA from his dad, he had no problem going out and get aging veterans. No problem at all. Matter of fact, he enjoyed that.
But Dominic would have done it unless he felt that it would not have met with approval from up above.
Well, that gets back to my original question. Was Dominic adverse to hiring or signing guys in their 30s?
We don't know that. Mm-hmm. We don't know that.
Because obviously Light is not adverse to that.
Light is not averse to that. And, you know, Steve, Light has bounced back. 2014, you have called it a historically bad entrance into free agency. I can't argue that. It was horrible.
Hey, man, when you hang your flagpole with Josh McCown on it, you deserve a flogging.
And
you
know Anthony Collins.
I'm not giving Light the X on Josh McCown.
Neither
I'm
am Lovey. Neither am I. Lovey. We know that was a Lovey call, but even the rest of them, I'm just being a little dramatic. But still, it's his deal.
You know that left tackle couldn't play, and he was a bad guy.
They didn't do
their research on that guy.
No, it got an F with Anthony Collins, and they didn't do the research on Michael Johnson. His agent actually came out and said that he didn't want to be here, so which was
dumb.
Insanity beyond belief. But yeah. Light has bounced back big time. Two things, Ira, and for our readers, our listeners, on JoeBucksFan.com, you can Google
Hopefully they're readers, too.
Readers and listeners. Well, we know we have strictly Ira people who hate me and Lee and just are here for you, Ira. But if you Google crappy veteran guy, there's a story that
Is there a Google search for that?
Well, you can Google crappy veteran guy.
Only you would Google that.
Well, let me finish. Well, explain why.
I would say something else.
It's a quote from Robert Ayers in a story I wrote last week. Part of a long quote from Robert Ayers saying that, you know what? He never wanted to be that crappy veteran guy. And he talks about his goals with the Bucks to be a leadership type, but just as a player. And, man, you read that full quote and you realize, man, the Bucks hit such a home run with this guy on many levels.
And,
now,
Steve, we're giving Ayers a lot of credit when they were 3-5 for laying the law down in that locker room.
Yes.
He gets a lot of that.
They struggled big time without him. After that Atlanta game when they went 3-5, it was Ayers who called the entire team together. And really made an impact on the offensive guys as well as the defensive guys. It was like Jameis wrote a letter, but Ayers cracked the whip. And they both worked.
Good analogy.
Now, Ira, our last topic today on the podcast, which is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, and what might be our new home here at Hooters in Port Richey. I don't know.
Lovely setting.
They're going to keep buying us lunch like this. It was so delicious. I don't even know what to say. Beautiful setting on the water. Really one of the best kept secrets in the Tampa Bay area. Look at that. Ira. Look at the birds.
Tranquil.
Suns. Tranquil.
Tranquil. Well, you're tranquil. You're sunning yourself here.
I see you looking at all the young ladies running around there.
Well, you have to. They're the servers. I mean, you don't want to trip on them.
I noticed that they're staring at you as well. And but last topic, Ira, defensive tackle.
Yes, sir.
What do you make of the position this year? Where were the failures, successes, and what's this looking at this offseason here, defensive tackle?
Well, I did not vote for Gerald McCoy on my all-pro team. That should tell you something. I watched him play 16 games. I did vote for Mike Evans. Having said that, Lee, nobody's replacing Gerald McCoy. He's a fixture here. He's got the money. He's a good to very good player. I just didn't have him as an all-pro. Is he the problem? No, but Gerald McCoy can play better, Lee. When your rush defense is that bad, he's got to take a little bit of a hit. I know he draws a lot of attention. Next to him, look, we all think Clinton McDonald is locker room gold. He's fabulous. Yes. He's the sage voice. He's won a Super Bowl, Steve. When he talks, people listen. He's got to play better. And Akeem Spence looks like a fill-in, a plugger. I think they got to upgrade there. Would I call it the number one priority? Of course not, Lee. Of course not. But I did not like the Buck rush defense, Lee. It took a big tumble from 2015. I understand, Steve, that Mike Smith put more of an emphasis on pass defense, and it turned out, to be fruitful, especially with that third down defense was very stingy. But in games like the Dallas game, and I dare say
sticks into your craw, doesn't it?
I dare say, Steve, the game at New Orleans, the Saints ran the ball a heck of a lot better than they did in Tampa.
They sure did,
and that made Breeze's job a lot easier and the Buck defense job a lot tougher that day.
That really sticks under his craw, the Dallas game and the Orleans game.
It does.
Yeah, as I stated in a previous podcast, I don't disagree, but I think Mark Ingram
also had too much success there, Lee.
But you know what? Ingram had a great, not great, a good year.
He had a good year.
Arguably his best as NFL. And you brought this up in a different podcast, a previous podcast, Ezekiel Elliott. Well, who stopped Ezekiel Elliott this year?
I understand.
I can't lay that on Mike Smith or a lack of a defensive tackle. I can't go there. I still think it was the offense that failed the Bucs more than anything. Dallas game, that defense got the ball back, three times? And the offense did squat with it.
Well,
New Orleans,
Steve's question is, how do you feel about the interior of the Bucs?
Oh, I don't disagree that they could use Clinton McDonald. How much more gas is in that tank? I don't know. Notice he's gotten hurt. I won't say quite a bit, but it's not uncommon to see him on the injury report.
You want to see a young guy next to McCoy, bring a bro along?
I think it's time. Now, how high up you draft or free agency, I don't know that answer. I've never posed that to any of my Buck sources. I will, but I don't disagree that, when you say defensive tackle, Bucks fans automatically, they freak out. Oh, Gerald McCoy, because for whatever reason, Gerald McCoy will never be beloved in this area. Never. I don't know why.
You explain that to people out of town, Steve. They can't understand.
Oh, they're flabbergasted.
They really don't understand.
They're flabbergasted. But when we're talking defensive tackle, we're not talking McCoy. McCoy's going to be there. So for the McCoy haters, you're just going to have to suck it up for a few more years. But someone else on the other side, besides Clinton McDonald, besides Akeem Spence, unless they think Golston's that guy, I think it's time to get an upgrade and help, because you're going to have a hole.
What's funny, Steve, is when Cutter and Mike Smith were in Jacksonville together, they had these twin towers at defensive tackle. One of them, I think, is named John Henderson. And there was another guy. They were each 300 pounds, and you couldn't run on that team. Dirk Cutter knows what a couple of stud defensive tackles can do.
A couple of elements, just to really answer the Gerald McCoy question for you. I think it's very simple, Ira. They don't like him because he's everything Warren Sapp is not. And that was the standard that was
set.
That's
never
going to
change.
Never going to change. So is he Warren Sapp, the massive playmaker in big games? No, he hasn't really had that opportunity yet in a lot of ways. Is he Warren Sapp, the wild leader on the field and the chew the other guy, stomp on his throat,
the mean presence,
kick the footballs in the other team's practice session,
all the stuff that Sapp is not,
you don't appreciate what he is, in essence.
They look at Sapp, natural leader, Sapp born Jameis-esque kind of leader. McCoy, not a natural leader. He's a leadership presence, but it's not really natural for him. He's not a face of the franchise natural guy.
Yeah, he's not a guy who's going to come punch a locker or something.
Right. They associate Warren Sapp with winning. They associate Gerald McCoy with losing. It's just how you go down the line, fair or not, that's what the fans are struggling over. Now, I'll say this. You want to turn around on McCoy? 15 sack season, Mr. McCoy. Everyone will be all. They'll jump
and
on
don't
that
forget.
Band,
I don't
so
agree.
Fast.
He gets 15 sacks. Everybody will say, "Well, why didn't you get 15?" An absurd standard.
And Steve, let's not forget, in the first 2 years of his career, he had to overcome a stigma that he was brittle, fair or unfair.
Yeah,
he got hurt those first,
that
and now he's turned out to be durable. McCoy, he's overcome that.
Absolutely. So, Clinton McDonald, one more year in his contract, he's probably back. I would think so. They're not going to get better value necessarily.
But it's time to bring a young guy around.
But they have a
big
decision. Do they re-sign Akeem Spence? He's finished. He's up in his unrestricted free agent. Or do they go draft a guy who they think might be Akeem Spence with more upside, maybe a third rounder, defensive tackle that they like? Keep in mind, they're picking later this year. I think they need an upgrade too there, because why wouldn't you? I don't think you're going to ride the Akeem Spence train years into the future.
Hey, Steve, one more thing about free agency, which I think is, this is the critical point, guys. The importance of free agency is this. If you can fill some needs and you feel comfortable with it, Steve, then you're not locked into the draft. That's usually when you make huge mistakes in the draft, Lee, is when you take a corner instead of a right guard because you're desperate and you got to have that corner, and the right guard's a better football player. Mm-hmm. You get in trouble when you do that over time.
The draft is a few months out, and we'll have a better idea of what they're going to target in the draft by free agency. This is just a hunch on my part. There's no really stud receivers that are going to be available in free agency, with the possible exception of this Alshon Jeffrey, who comes with baggage. He's hurt. and he's already been dinged for PEDs, and his next violation, I think, might be a half a season.
I want a burner, Steve. I don't care how tall the guy is. I want a burner.
Here's what I think the Bucs are going to do with the wide receiver, how they're going to address it this offseason. It's just a hunch, just a guess, educated guess. Haven't talked to anybody with the Bucs about it. Given the fact that there's no stud receiver on the free agency with the exception of Jeffrey, and again, it comes with baggage.
So you're not a DeSean Jackson guy? You don't consider him an elite guy?
Is he over the hill?
30 years old, just had a 1,000-yard season.
Well, this is getting to my point. I'll throw another name out there very similar. I think they're going to go for depth. Not necessarily, a Pierre Garçon is a guy that really gets my attention. Everywhere he's been, they've won. Everywhere he's been, he produces. I heard Joe Theismann on NFL radio a couple weeks ago, said he's the heart and soul of that offense. And, a good locker room guy.
Does he have enough speed? Does he have enough speed?
Well, that's just it. They can get you can always get some, 9 500-yard dash dude in the draft. You can always do that. But I think they're going for depth at wide receiver in free agency because there is not that stud in free agency with the exception of Jeffrey. Again, I pointed out his baggage. So I think they're going for DeSean Jackson, I think, is a stopgap depth. A bridge. Light would use the term bridge. He used that term with Grimes. He used that term with Ayers. Bridge. DeSean Jackson's getting up there. That'd be a nice pickup, don't get me wrong. But as far as the draft, I think if the Bucs are going to look for that stud receiver, it's going to be the draft, not free agency.
I think last thing I'll say on this topic, Steve, and this is, pie in the sky. Pie in the sky. These guys don't drop out of the air. But anybody that has seen Tyreek Hill play this year could only imagine what a Dirk Koetter, who's a very imaginative play caller, could do with a guy like that.
Sure.
Andy Reid's done a great job. Steve, the guy's got 12 touchdowns. Now, I know some of them came on kick returns, but not all of them.
He's dynamic.
Get that guy the ball in space, Steve. He stretches the defense. Now, are they out there? Maybe. I think he was a fifth-round pick. He was out there. The Chiefs, he had some personal issues, and the Chiefs rolled the dice and took him. He's the reason the Chiefs are dangerous.
Oh, absolutely.
Without him, nobody'd be talking about the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's a different animal, and it's just a guy we can explore as it gets closer. DeSean Jackson, Jason Light's going to know all about him from his days in Philly when Jackson was there. So he'll either like him or he won't. But he's only 30, caught over 1,000 yards from Kirk Cousins this year on just 50-something catches.
I want to make sure he's motivated.
The fantasy people know that he's one of your biggest yards per catch guys.
He is a big yard per catch.
He's still the vertical threat. Mm-hmm. So if they look at themselves as like a Super Bowl run kind of team, he's a guy I think you could be very confident has 2-3 years left. But is he motivated?
And you don't give him a 5-year deal, obviously.
Right. What we'll be telling you is which one of those guys the Redskins let go, Jackson or Garçon?
Yeah.
Well, Jackson,
they're both the same age.
Yeah,
aren't they?
They're both the same age. Jackson's actually sort of said, "I'm moving on." So he seems to want to test the market. Can't blame him because, like Lee said, it's not a great year for free agent receivers. And Jeffrey's been hurt for the last 2 years, and he's got PEDs.
You want a guy to catch a 9-yard square out, it's not DeSean Jackson. You want a guy who, in Koetter's words, can take a 10-yard slant and take it to the house, that is DeSean Jackson.
You want Mike Evans to smile? You signed DeSean Jackson. all right, Ira, fantastic podcast. We will see you at your next podcast Tuesday. Thank you to Hooters in Port Richie for hosting us today and buying Ira's gigantic lunch. And, of course, Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. That's where you want to go, folks. EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. More Hall of Fame goodies from Ira. And again, if you missed Tuesday's podcast, definitely go check it out. It's on iTunes, JoeBucksFan.com, Podbean, some good stuff from Ira. And we like to thank good stuff from me and Lee as well. So we'll see you next time.